الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العلي العظيم. الله تبارك وتعالى has given us roses, fasting as a shield, and it will protect us from everything. But if we break the shield, then the shield won't do its work. And breaking the shield, it's like, for example, a person uses his tongue incorrectly, backbiting, swearing, lying. A person uses his eyes incorrectly, looking at other women, harm, etc. Uses his ears incorrectly, or he thinks all bad things, what we have been discussing. And further, we will discuss another two points. So all these points, then our shield is broken. And if we keep roza, we fast, just the basics, which according to Shariat, according to fiqh, will be a roza. We will be absolved that we have done our duty. We kept roza, and that is with niyat of roza. We don't eat, drink, and don't satisfy our sexual desires, then roza will be made. But that is like a businessman who buys for 5 rand and sells for 5 rand. Though he might be the busiest man in town for 2-3 days, but he will be the first man out of business also. Because he can't pay his salaries, he can't pay his overheads, nothing, because he's making no profit. So if we're just doing the faraz, it's like we are not making, our faraz is done, the transaction is done. But we are not making a profit. Profit is that we keep roza of the tongue also, of the eyes also. And a person who makes profit in his business, that person we know how eager he is in his business. Though a person might say, there is no more fun in business, because the receiver doesn't, you can't get away with uplang anymore. And the amount of crooks and robberies, etc. But we don't see businesses going down, less, they are becoming more all the time. And the main thing, with all the dangers, because the profit a person is making, that's why he's eager. So if we, so to say, make the profit in our business, in our roza, then we'll enjoy rozas. Then it can be 20-hour summer rozas also, with hot, hot temperatures, but it won't matter to a person. Like business people, where they do business, under what dangerous conditions, their own life is at risk, the life of their family members are at risk, but they carry on. Though all the risk, because the profit. So if we can make profit in our rozas, and we see the benefit, and that is when we'll keep a proper roza. And we keep the roza of the eyes also, the roza of the tongue also, then we will get the enjoyment. And when we will keep such a roza properly, then that will be called roza. Otherwise, there is a great difference, according to Quran and Hadith, between staying hungry and keeping roza. For many people, it is only a matter of staying hungry. We didn't really keep roza. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, a person who kept roza, that is, he thought he kept roza. But he lied, backbited, used his eyes in any way, thoughts in anything, all the wrong things he did. Then it comes, Allah is not in need of his keeping hungry. So that person kept hungry actually, he did not keep roza. So roza we have to keep. So if we keep this roza, then the roza in turn now will give, we kept a roza. We didn't just stay hungry. We kept a roza properly. The roza, the fast, in return, will give us a great reward. That for the rest of the year, in fact for the rest of your life, your eyes will be under control. And a person whose eyes are under control, he will realize that he is in Jannah. Many people, we hate ourselves that we are looking at the filth, dirt, I can't control my eyes. But roza will give you, Ramzan will give you, that your eyes will be under control. A person whose tongue is under control. Hey, how many of us, we blurt out, we say all wrong things, and we're so sorry afterwards, we hate what we had said, but we couldn't control our tongue. So the roza will keep our tongues under control. Our thoughts will be under control. our ears will be under control. And if the eyes are under control, for example, it comes in the Hadith Sharif. A person who is buried and who if he was living a right life, Roza will give us the whole right life for the rest of our lives. Then his eyesight is made so strong that his qabr is open to unlimited vision, where and where. And on the other hand, if a person was not righteous, he squeezed so much in his qabr that the one side of the ribs go into the other side. Yeah, just if somebody gives you a punch, somebody slaps you, a smack, how you feel. And there, one side of the ribs will go in. So Roza will give us that vision also in that. And a person who kept his eyes pure, it comes in the Quran Sharif, لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما. That in Jannat, a person won't listen to any futile talk, any sinful talk. And a person who is saved from that, he doesn't hear the backbiting of people, he doesn't hear any wrong things. And when a person will attain reasonable purity, he will know the harmful effects of music also. At the moment, perhaps if a person's ears are still polluted, he might enjoy music. But a person whose ears have been purified and his iman has been made, he will know how hateful and how dreadful music is. He won't be able to tolerate it. So these four things so far we have discussed, to keep roza of the tongue also. And we should try and follow the instructions, and in Ramzan it's not difficult. This is the workshop. Like a motor car goes for a service in the workshop. In the workshop, it is all suitable conditions. The machines are there. You are not exposed to rough driving of other people, potholes on the road. You are in the workshop. And everything to make that car right is very conducive in the workshop. When it has been done, the car won't stay forever in the workshop. It just goes for its service, then it will be used on all types of roads. Tar roads, corrugated roads, on the main road, on the pavement, in the driveway, everywhere the car will be used. So we also, Ramzan is a month for the service of a person. And that is why we are here. And particularly here, that is what we lay emphasis. Otherwise, Ramzan, some places on ibadat the emphasis is laid. Some places on zikr the emphasis is laid. And all this is 100% correct. But the emphasis here is on our islah, that we must correct ourselves. So we are here in the workshop, and if we do our service is done properly, then when we go out, we will be used in the house, in the business, with friends, social gatherings. And if our service was done right, then the eyes will function properly. The tongue will function properly, and we will get maximum benefit. A car that is well serviced is a pleasure to drive it. You can control it on the tip of your finger. But if a car, the wheel alignment is totally out, the shock absorbers are gone totally, how so hard to control, more difficult than driving a big truck also. That car will shake you also. The wheel balance is not done. The whole steering will shake in your hand all the time. But a car that is well serviced, you'll get, so it's a pleasure to drive that car. So yeah, service ourselves. Put us in properly for service, and then see inshallah what great benefits we will get. So after discussing about the roza of the tongue, roza of the eyes, roza of the ears, and roza of the heart and mind, that is thoughts. The next point that we will discuss, roza of the stomach. That is the food that we eat, that we must eat proper, good, halal, tayyib food. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masih Allah Sabr Rahmatullah Ali once in Lanesia gave this bayan about eating halal food. So we were in Mauritius, and our host, Haji Firoz Turawa, he was also an ardent follower of Maulana Masih Allah Sabr. He said that Maulana's bayans, what great bayans he used to give. But he says one bayan, that was the cherry on the top. And he printed that bayan out, it's written out, it's in written form. He printed it out and distributed freely. He was so impressed with that bayan. So this was the bayan. So I told him, I'm looking for that one bayan of Maulana Masihullah where he spoke about eating halal tayyib food. So he said, that's the same bayan I'm speaking about. So alhamdulillah, I managed to get a copy from him, and it's a very, very beneficial. Anyway, Hadraji, when he started his talk, he said, people say that Maulvis only talk about namaz, roza, zakat, about these things. So let us talk about food today. And everyone likes food. So we will talk about food which everyone enjoys. Then he started with the ayat, Ya ayyuhar rasul, rusul, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu minat tayyibat. That the rasuls Allah is addressing. And the rasuls are a class above the anbiya. Every rasul is a nabi also. But every nabi is not a rasul. Allah had sent many anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, and less in number Allah had sent rasuls. A rasul is a sahib kitab. He gets his own laws, his own kitab. A nabi follows in the kitab of the previous rasul. What he teaches, he just brings it back to life again. A rasul is of a higher. So Allah is addressing the rasuls, not the mu'mineen. And mu'mineen are a class higher than the muslimin. A muslim is an ordinary muslim. Mu'min is a person who has that convincing iman in him. So it's not the muslimin, not the mu'mineen, not people at large, but the rasuls Allah is addressing them. And Allah tells them, "Kulu min at-tayyibat." Eat of what is tayyib. Tayyib is healthy, wholesome food. For the food in which there is no doubt about its being halal or haram. No doubt whatsoever. And also, I was very surprised, Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali added delicious food. Tayyibat. Tayyib is delicious food also. So Allah commanded, eat healthy, wholesome food in which there is no doubt and which is delicious. Enjoy the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. And then when you will do that, the conclusion comes from the Quran Sharif, وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. The result will be that you'll do amalis saliha. So many of us, we are worried that I get very bad ideas, etc. Many of us, our children, today's youth, that what they are doing, etc., how their behavior is, how their character, akhlaq is, etc. Anyone, it is dependent on the food that we are eating. If we are eating this healthy, wholesome food, in which there is no doubt of it being halal, and no problem, it can be delicious also, the result is automatically you will be doing amal-e-saliha. So this was a very important directive which Allah had given to the Rasuls. So for us, how much isn't it? So we should see that our income is also halal. And mashallah, we are doing the kitab after Zuhar of business transactions to make sure that which dealings of us are correct, which are not correct. We should follow this up, and inshallah this kitab will finally be given out also. If not this year, but in the future ones, this is all still just in the very elementary stages. All this is being prepared. This all is done by ulama overseas, but according to South African requirements here. According to requirements of the Western world, these etiquette, adab, business dealings, etc., we are preparing it, and alhamdulillah, five kitabs. Four. After Fajr, after Zuhar, after Asr, and after Isha. No. In the morning, 11 o'clock. That time, the four kitabs are being read. So we should study this. And I suggested last year, and I renewed it this year, but we won't still make Amr, that we'll have exams also. And we'll then find out who's listening and not listening. And that we ask everyone questions also. And then we'll find out that who is listening or who is just coming to sit here. Then we'll know. So this year, like if you pay 5,000 rand for a course, you're attending a seminar, and you go and sleep. So here also I think we must make some 10,000 rand, charge every person, then people will listen properly. Free of charge, mali muft dile be raham. What comes free, you don't worry about it, you abuse it, you don't appreciate it. So perhaps we should also, one friend of ours who comes here from Sri Lanka, he was still new. First time he wanted to meet me in the office to discuss. Maybe he said 2-3 minutes, one few questions he had. He asked me, how was the fees now? Some people came when they became bay'at, they asked, what's the fees now? So yeah, but us, alhamdulillah, no fees for, but appreciate. There are other people, for bay'at, they charge huge amount of fees. And for one consultation, they charge fees. The railways, by them it's a big business, all this. You don't just become a murid free of charge. You pay, and you pay through your neck. You pay heavy. But let us not just let it go. Appreciate the system of all the Anbiya alayhimus salam. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرِ. That we only want your islah. That my niyat is only that you must get your islah. Nothing else. And in there, of course, is barakat. If it's a business, then it's a business. There is nothing in a business. So, from there also understand, though this business will be tax-free also. This business will, but there is no barakat in that money. Any money that comes like that wrongly, whatever, there is no barakat in it. And indeed, Allah puts great, great barakat. And for a little while, like a person who gets an hourly wage, it's very small compared to a person who takes his wage daily. And the person who takes daily compared to weekly. And the person who takes weekly compared to monthly. And the person who takes yearly compared to monthly, how much? And the person who will take at the end of his life his wage. For the akhirah, what won't be that wage? That will be the big wage that Allah Ta'ala will give. And that, this world is too small to even, to accommodate that wage. A ashik, a lover of Allah says, oh Allah, your gifts are so much, my lap is too small. I can't accommodate how much you are giving. And in this world, it's not everything credit Allah gives. Allah gives the commission cash. Your peace of mind, contentment of heart, peace, security, respect, honor, comfortable life. Allah gives all that cash. That is all commission. But the commission is always a small percentage of the actual amount. What are you actually going to get will be in the akhirah. There a person will see what Allah Ta'ala will give. So we should also, in Ramadan particularly, make sure that our food, especially if we are at home, that it is healthy, wholesome food. One friend of ours, some years ago now, he's still there, our friend, very good, mashallah, and he had also a weight problem. So he went and see a dietitian. It was a non-Muslim woman. But what she told him, that you people have got the total remedy in your religion, that fasting is prescribed for you. And how fasting is prescribed, like somebody had mentioned, that one person who went to the physiotherapist, and he said that a Muslim cannot have a back problem. Because how our namaz, we are supposed to make, go into our sajda. And how we are supposed to come up from a sajda. When we go to sajda, don't bend first and go down. Keep your back straight and then you go down. He said in that way you can never have a back problem. In the same way, doctors have written the best remedy, the best exercise for heart exercise to keep your heart healthy is to make salam. But then also the salam must be done properly. Not just turning the head little like a proud person. And not also that you go little front and you make salam. You don't have to check who came for Fajr today. You don't have to take roll call. You have to make your chest and your body must remain on its place. Your head must turn. Yeah, from the neck, even in Adhan. The chest mustn't turn away from Qibla. The head must turn, Hayya ala salah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And turn your head, and don't throw your head sideways. And don't bring your shoulder forward to make salam. Keep that must stay all on its place. Like some drivers, when they want to turn to the right, they also turn like this. You don't have to turn, that's not going to help you to turn. You turn the steering. When they want to turn to the left, they turn. And when they have to, going in front, and they want to speed up, they got a narrow gap. They overtook, and now they've got, they also go in front. And when they give a sharp break, they go back. So you must stay on your place in your namaz also. You don't move around in your namaz. Your head must do the moving. And turn so much that the whiteness of your cheek can be seen by the person at the back. So your head must turn fully. And then don't look anywhere else. Look on your shoulders. There is another very, very important thing. Allah has put kiram and katibin in every namaz. If it's your own namaz, look with the eyes of your heart with yaqeen, kiram and katibin aye. And like for example, this will help tremendously. It's one mustahab of namaz. But it is also enough for total islah. Like for example, you know, you are driving your car at whatever speed. You see the traffic cops, speed cops there. Or the sign that they are tripping camera. And you know this place there is a camera. Automatically, you drop your speed. So if we see Allah's officers that they are here, if you see them, automatically you're going to correct. And five times a day, in every namaz, sunnat, faraz, wajib, nafil, whatever namaz is, look at that. Not traffic cops, but those farishtas who are recording everything. And they're recording in such a way, one person made dua to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, I want to see how this kiram and katibin are writing. And not in our time, when there are cameras everywhere, video cameras, recording the sound, recording the movements, everything. In those days, Allah showed him, Allah accepted his dua. He saw them, he made salam, assalamu alaikum. They wrote down, assalamu alaikum. He said, you don't reply to salam? They wrote it down, you don't reply to salam. They say, you write everything? They wrote it down, you write everything. Like this, we are being watched by Allah. If a person goes into a supermarket, and some people got the habit of stealing, just for nothing, no reason, took on small item, nothing big also, and put it in the basket or put it in the pocket. When they are leaving by the security, they caught them on CCTV. The security tells you, sir, madam, we would like to just speak to you, if you'll come with us. They take you in the room, they tell you, you have stolen. Everyone denies first where I steal. I'm your old customer, I come and steal here. Then they show them the footage on the screen. Now he can't deny. Now what comes in? If I knew there was a camera, I should never have stolen. So in the same way, if we can realize, meri nazar par unki nazar paas baan rahi. On my camera, his camera is watching all the time. And his camera is taking, is photoing and videoing everything all the time. Afsos, is khabar se be khabar te. Qiyamah Day will say, if only I knew that Allah's cameras were there, I shouldn't have done all this. So like this, our eyes, look at the kiram and katibin. They are there all the time. So we should make our salam properly. And in salam, while passing, the correct method of salam, which Ibn Abidin Shami rahmatullah alayhi has written, we will mention that also. And that is that your salam starts from the front here. And you turn this way, to your right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And that is where the words of the salam end, but your salam physically hasn't ended. Then you bring your head back to the front. Now your first salam is completed. And then you start your second salam from in front. And you again this way, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The words have ended, your salam hasn't ended. Bring your head back again to the front, now your salam is ended. Otherwise, we find many women, they are making their namaz, and yeah, the milk on the stove, it hasn't boiled over. The wagar you are making, it hasn't burnt out. Or one person, there was a mutawalli in Surat, in India. He was a mutawalli of a few masjids. So he should make his namazes in different masjids to check that whether the imam is on time, toilets are clean, towels, whatever, all the facilities, it's in order. It's his duty, and that is how a mutawalli should be. Mutawalli must occasionally use the masjid toilet also. Then he'll know whether the latches are in order, the lights are burning, switches are right. If he doesn't, how will he know what's happening? And he must make wuzu also there. Use the towels also. Then he'll know whether they are dry or they are not being changed, cleaned, etc. So anyway, he should go. So one namaz he made zuhar time, and the imam sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Who's caught you? Just here, what's the score? So the mutawalli said, forget the score, you are fired. You are worried who hit sixes and who took how many wickets and what the score is in the cricket match. What namaz you made for the people. So anyway, so the salam must be done. Also, we should say the words also properly. Wa rahmatullah. In the ummah, there is so much of still jahalat also. There is this masala that if a wife takes a husband's name, this is disrespect. Mustn't take the husband's name according to adab and etiquette. Just call him the children's father or so-and-so's father or whatever. But the name is out of respect, she should not take it. So that also today we don't, we're just taking one another's name freely. The wife calls the husband by her name, that respect in there is not. So then you don't find respect in other things also. Then it breeds lot of other problems also. Because from there wasn't respect already. The other, one side we went to this, that we're taking the husband's name freely. The other extreme again, some people believe wrongly. It's not a masala. That if you take the husband's name, then talaq falls on the husband. Where can the wife give talaq? A talaq is from the husband. And the wife just by taking the name, how can talaq? So in other words, they went to that extreme of respect, that if you take the name, talaq falls. So one woman had a big problem. Her husband's name was Rahmatullah. So whenever she makes salam, and if she has to say, wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, talaq will fall. So the child, in so much of ignorance, the child's name was Ghunniya. No name like that also. So when she should make salam, assalamu alaikum, Ghunniya Kaaba. That Ghunniya's father, Rahmatullah. How lot of ignorance there is in the ummah. So we should correct all these things properly. So the salam also should be done properly. And then inshallah, see the value of namaz. Any person who makes niyat of kiram and katibin, every namaz. If behind the imam, after that make niyat of the imam also. On which side you are. And all the musallis on your right, on your left, the side you are making salam. And also jinnat. And don't get frightened. Jinnat are everywhere. And jinnat are frightened for us. But when we show we are frightened, they take advantage of us. Otherwise, jinnat can do nothing. And they are everywhere. You don't have to be frightened for jinnat at all. They are very frightened for mankind. So, make niyat of them. They are pious jinnat who come for namaz also. And if you hear sounds in your house, etc., don't worry. And if some people say, mustn't leave the musalla open. Then shaitan will make namaz. If shaitan starts making namaz, our battle is over. No, there won't be any more problems. So let him make namaz. If that is the way that he's going to make namaz, let him make namaz. If he will make namaz. So anyway, what we are talking, that our food, Ya ayyuhar rusul, Allah commanded the rasuls, kulu min at-tayyibat. Eat of healthy, wholesome food in which there is no doubt. Today, generally, what is halal food? What has been certified halal. And there was a time when they would say, this is halal. Now, no more they say halal, now it's certified halal. And there is a great difference between actually halal and a thing which is certified halal. Certified halal, anything, anyone can certify anything. When I was in Germiston teaching, many years ago now, easily 30, 40 years ago it was imtihan day in the madrasa maktab. And all the imtihan maulanas also had come. And for some reason, the ustad's table that was in the classroom, they pulled a drawer. And there was a whole reel of halal stickers. So whoever can get hold of it, and where they can put halal stickers where they want to. And you say they're certified halal. One person was traveling in the old Orange Free State, the Free State province, after the change of South Africa. And he came to a place where he saw halal written. So he was very happy, yeah, in the Free State, halal. So he went and he went in, buy there. And unfortunately for a Muslim, one board of halal is enough for him. That is now halal certified. He doesn't worry anything behind it. So anyway, he bought from there. Then he asked that white man, Christian man, non-Muslim, that this halal, what does it mean? He said, I also don't know what it means. But I saw since I put it, my business sales have gone up. So it's like a taweezi. That now his sales have gone up. Because Muslims just say halal, finish, that is enough for them. Once we were in Port Gietersrus. Now is a new name of Port Gietersrus. Makupani. We were discussing this subject, and one person who had a business shop, a business, he said he sent his car for servicing. So they told him when it will be ready. He went on the time, but it wasn't ready. They said another half an hour, 1 hour, whatever. So he was waiting outside of the workshop, the garage, for his car to be ready. Then next to the garage was some KFC, Kentucky, or whatever, Chicken Licken, whichever one of these companies. And the lady who works there, a black lady, was a customer in his shop and he knew her. So he saw her coming from across the road. And when she came, and she had plastic packets with her. So he spoke to her, asked her, what is this? So she said, chickens. But she said, your chickens are halal. You are certified halal, that you use halal chicken. And you bought this from OK's, the big supermarket you bought. She said, what must I do? The chicken got finished, so I went and buy from there. So this is the condition. And we trust this so wholeheartedly. We were in Lusaka, and they were talking. This article appeared in a newspaper in Lusaka. It won't come in our newspapers here. That in Sandton, a very upmarket restaurant, they had put cameras on the workers in there where they prepared the food. And they found what they were doing. They sliced the roll and they put the meat, whatever, for the burger, whatever. And then they take out their gill from inside. And they spit on it. And they spread that on there. And then what call it, they close it and nice wrapping and looks outwardly very good. And then they used to sell it. So they were caught on that. So when they were asked, they said, we are taking revenge of what the whites did to us in the apartheid era. And this restaurant is patronized mainly by white people. But this is now when we go to such places. One time, a family in Lanesia, also quite a number of years ago, the ladies, they go on strike on Saturday. If they say our kitchen, they got a notice. This kitchen is closed from Friday night till Monday morning. We don't cook anything. Once it was such a condition here in Azadwal, whichever girl you go and see you want to marry in Azadwal girls, their condition, we can no cooking. We eating out. Allah may let it be changed for good and for everywhere. So anyway, so these ladies, they said, we not, you men must go and buy something. They bought whatever things they wanted to buy. And then the one lady next to her was a little daughter. And the daughter said, mummy, look what is in here. Hair. Kuchcha of hair. So the mummy tried and cover it up and just made her keep quiet. After a while, a more bigger, that whole hair she found in there. And now they couldn't cover it up. Nobody could eat after that, naturally. And so this is all this type of food, this eating out and eating this. And today everyone is involved in it. That it's a fashion, it's a craze. And how much money? I usually say if you want to eat out, let the family prepare nice food and eat it outside in the garden. You are eating out, make yourself happy with eating out. But in these places, one friend of ours, I usually mention this also, that Bhai Abdul Wahab Sahab, the Ahmed Barakatum of Raiwin, told us once when we were there, that the Buzurgs in the past, if they wanted to lessen the zikr of any murid for any reason, pride is in coming in him, or he can't take it, it's too hot for him, it's too hot for his head. One time, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali prescribed certain zikr for a murid in Thana Bhavan. He went and made it 10 times more. That also don't make zikr and don't increase it on your own also. So the effect, it was so hot, he became mad and he threw himself in the well. Hey, fortunately, Manana says we managed to get him out safely. Otherwise, it should be a murder case made against me, the police should make. That where this person killed himself, you prescribed all this for him. So we should be careful what we... So when the Buzurgs wanted to lessen somebody's zikr for any valid reason, all they should do is the food which is sold in the shops outside. They should let him eat that food. That food on which everyone's eyes falls all the time. As the people are passing, etc., the eyes fall. The effect of that is the noor is taken away. Barakat is taken away. Then automatically this person's zikr will become less. So one friend of ours, Maulana Muhammad Saliji of Phoenix, who our student also, he returned one time from 40 days in Jamaat in Pakistan. And immediately he phoned me, he told me, Maulana, in our Jamaat there was one person who used to cry plenty, whole time crying, morning to night, namaz, tilawat, bayan, just crying all the time. So we thought he's going to die, how he used to cry. So we were worried. So one village we went to, we told the elders there, we got this problem, this person is with us. He doesn't sleep at night, he doesn't let us also sleep. Make a crying all the time. They said, very easy solution. take him to one of the shops and let him, a tea shop, and let him drink tea there. And if there is a tea shop where there is music playing, take him to such a shop. They did it, they took him, and Abba, after he drank that one cup tea there, and the effect of that music, all his crying gone. Now even if he wanted to force himself to cry, he couldn't cry. Today we wonder why we don't get enjoyment in our ibadat, our tilawat, our zikr, our namaz. See what food we are eating. The food that we are eating, it has a direct effect on a person's akhlaq also, character also. On your ibadat also, your desire for ibadat. Many people say, I don't know, Ramzan came and just I got no desire for ibadat. I don't know what's wrong with me. We have to see what food we are eating of many things. Food has got a great, great effect on a person. So we should be very, very conscious of the type of food. Those people there in Potphetusrus, what again? Polokwani? No. Makupani. They said that what you call it, their daughter or son, I think daughter, was studying in Pretoria Lodium University. So they came and see the child over the weekend, and they decided also to eat out. So they went, they ordered at one of the shops, the outlets, and there was also halal. It was a black attendant. So they asked him, what does this halal mean? I said, I don't know what it means. Well, what I understand is piri piri. You just put some masala in there, that is what is called halal. So if that is the notion of that person serving you and he thinks that is what is called halal, that some strong masala, etc., piri piri, that is what is called halal, how can it be halal? I don't say all this is haram, but how can you trust it? And a non-Muslim, what has he got your deen at heart? And that you must be eating halal. And even a Muslim, when a thing is commercialized, then the object and the god becomes money, profit. Then you don't look at whether halal and haram, whatever. When we were still young, we were studying in Mias Farm, and Maulana Abbas Ali Jina, Damat Barakatum, the president of Jamiatul Ulama, he had just come from India. And he was doing a side business of fowls, selling, cutting and selling fowls. And we were students, so on a Friday we were off, so he should ask us to go and slaughter and then go and pack it and distribute it. And for us it's just, we just look forward to that. We get the car to drive, we're getting chance to go out of the madrasa, going to Joburg, so we look forward to that occasion. So there was a farm very near there, and we should go and slaughter there. Then one morning we went there, early in the morning after Fajr, and we found that there is a man from the old Forsberg Fitas area. Some Musa Bhai, whoever he was, person staying in your neighborhood, Musa Bhai, Ahmad Bhai, whoever it might be, he should slaughter and deliver. So you are 100% confident. He's a person in our neighborhood, everything. So when we went there, his black worker, who wasn't a Muslim, not a Malawian, not a Muslim, he was busy slaughtering. So we asked him, Musa Bhai, what is this? So he said that, I get tired, how much must I slaughter? So his object is money, his object is not halal. So today we have to think very careful of what we are consuming. And a person who is concerned of what he's consuming, we were in Nampula, which is in Mozambique, north of Mozambique. And for there was one person who was our host, usually he is our host. Now he's maybe about just over 55 roughly. This may be 5-10 years ago. He said that when I was a small boy, about 6 years old, I had polio. And it had such an effect, I couldn't go to toilet on my own also. They should have to carry me to the toilet. But my father had a very good friend, a local black sheikh, pious person. And so he told my mother, take this boy to him and let him make dua. So he says, I went there, he made that one dua. And that day and today, about 50 years, no treatment, no hospital, no operation, and you can see how I'm walking. But then he added, but that person not living in a village, living in a jungle, right jungle, but whatever food should come on the table, the dasturkhan, from where this came, who sent it? There when there was really no question, there was no Kentucky, there was no chicken licken, there was nothing of all these things, but he should be so particular about his food. And when your food is halal, Allah makes you mustajabud da'wat. Also he said that they were living on the mainland, Africa, and there's a small island just there, Isle de Mozambique, which is known that Islam entered Mozambique at that place there. Musa bin Baik came there, the masjid is built there today, small, now they built a big Jami masjid next to it. Anyway, so they should go for schooling there. Once a week they should stay by their grandparents. And that time he said we were poor, we didn't have money, most of the boats were with the sails. There were a few motor boats, but they should charge more. We didn't have money to pay for that. So we should go with the sailboats. And the sailboat only moves if there is wind. If there is no wind, it stands. So he said we should see how many times the whole boat is full, ready to, but no wind. This buzurg comes slowly out of the jungle. He puts his foot on the boat and the wind starts. And then we go over. Also he told that the same as buzurg, there was a train service, and usually Western countries, Europe, Portuguese was controlling Mozambique at that time. Their dunya services are more advanced, more good, so they had very good train service. But he says we saw so many times the train that is going from there, and no reason, there is no signal, nothing, and the train just stops. And then slowly this buzurg comes out, and he puts his foot on the train, and the train starts moving. But all this, what was that? Halal and tayyiba. So this is what we have to be concerned. Today we say our du'as are not being accepted. I don't enjoy my ibadah. Bad thoughts are coming to me. A major contributor to this is the food that we are eating. A person who eats halal food, that person, Allah Ta'ala, his whole condition will change. So Allah has commanded us that we must eat this halal and tayyiba. One restaurant in the UK many years ago, and this restaurant was famous for their kebabs, and people from far should come and eat the kebabs here. One time the refuse people who pick up the dirt, the refuse people, they found so many tons of this dog food, food that is given for the dogs to eat. Pets delight this dog's food. So they said on one premises there can't be so many dogs, that they have to do so much. But anyway, they took it away. The next week again, then they reported it, that there is something fishy here, there is something not right. How can there be so many tons of this dog food, meat which is given to the dogs here in this place? When they investigated, they found it, they were making that kebabs with this meat, with the dog's food meat. And then it's just a matter of adding the, what call it, colorants, and then the spices, and how the people release and eat it. And how many, some friends of ours went to Malaysia, a Muslim country, and they were enjoying that the meat that was, that's cut very fine, small, thin pieces, whatever, that meat they were enjoying. So they stayed, how many days they stayed, when they were leaving, the lady said, this is very delicious, man. We're at home also, I must make this and entertain everyone with it. She went and asked them that, what's the recipe? They told it's pork meat, and a Muslim country. So how careful don't we have to be today, what and what is not happening, where and where, what we are just buying over. Mufti Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, my Ustad, I remember those days, maybe about 45 years ago now, 50 years, he told us when this question came out that time also, that all this abattoirs, who is slaughtering, who is checking, how it's being slaughtered. He says that be very careful. He says this other meat, and today how much more it has been progress. They just pack it in beautiful containers and it looks very nice and appealing. And what the person who you slaughter at home and you use your chopper and how lot of the bones also. And there they cut it in the machine. Everyone likes that. Very nice cut. It's cut up very nice. There's no problem. Do it halal and cut it up like that. But when you chop it, etc., you don't like that. It doesn't appear nice. And they just all the out. Today the whole world is just about an outside thing. The outside looks tempting, looks beautiful, tempting and beautiful. We go for that. And what is the actual value of things? Unfortunately, we are unmindful. And food is a very, very important thing. Du'as for Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, when he became the king, there was a group of Abdal, great buzurgs. Any oppressive ruler should come, they should make bad du'a for him. He should be removed from there. So when he became the king, the first thing he did is invited them for meals. And after they ate, he said, now I'm not afraid of their baddua. I put haram in the food. And now the baddua will not affect me. After all, think that now Ramzan's month, the whole world, when Quran Sharif will be made khatam, 27th night, 29th night, after Quran khatam, after so much qurbani of the people also, they don't understand, but people stood diligently for Taraweeh. How many people stood in the whole world? The imams, how much effort they make, and they present the Quran and read it the best they can. Everything in the haram of Makkah, haram of Medina, how many millions of Muslims there. And the du'as on the 27th night, and the du'as on the 29th, what du'as are made? But it doesn't change the ummah's condition at all. What we have to see, what is being fed. Hey, one time, Kentucky, Saudi Arabia, India, and another country had laid a charge against them that the fried chips they are selling, it is half fried, and it was fried in oil that is from pork. So for India, they apologized to them, but they stopped it after that. And in Saudi Arabia, they did not even apologize to them. And the oil they were supplying to fry the chips, that was that from pig, that oil. After that, now what they did, only half a measure they took. They sent half fried now. And that half fried is also fried in pork, that oil. And then you fry it now with your oil. But the other damage is done already. One friend of ours, Abdullah Saud, in Saint Diego in Chile, is an Arab, originally Saudi, but he was in Jordan. He's classified Jordanian. And they were in Palestine. So I'll narrate two instances of his. One of his, he said, his father told him when he was a small boy. And the West, especially Israel, they have made South America the dumping ground of the Arabs. Take them away from Palestine, Jordan, so that they become less there and they can get more land. And they come and put them into South America, which is carrying on till today also. So he says his father told him, he was a small boy, Moshe, who was this, Sharon. Sharon, who was the prime minister, and he was in coma for how many years or whatever. He was a young man still, Sharon himself. And he was the chief of the army, the army general. And he told the Palestinians at that time, we are sending you people out from here. And he spoke Arabic also very well. But he says, this is your land and you will get your land back. But not today, not tomorrow. You will get it back when your masjids get full for Fajr, how they get full for Asr. How your masjids get full at Jummah time. When Fajr time your masjids get full like that, then you people will be. They also know that our solution is in our deen. But we don't understand that. And we want to follow in them, addressing their way. Today we feel so pity and rightfully for Palestine, Gaza, for Syria, for Iraq. But if you see the condition of the people, very, very sad condition. And Allah's system is that according to our actions, that Allah makes decisions according to that. And we're making dua, and we're making but dua for Israel. Right, no problem whatsoever. But make dua also for the islah of the ummah. Till we don't come right, our iman, our amal don't come right, then how is Allah's help going to come? Same Abdullah ibn Saud, the other instance I wanted to say, that he went to one of these outlets in Makkah Sharif to buy something. And the person who served him, after he gave him what he wanted, he told him, thank you, goodbye. So he told him, he's a strong Muslim, good Muslim, Abdullah Saud. He said, what? Yeah, in Makkah Sharif, thank you and goodbye? Say Jazakallah, say Assalamu Alaikum. He didn't, but he also was adamant. He didn't leave him about how many minutes, quarter hour, half hour, till he made him say, Jazakallah and Assalamu Alaikum. But they are trained like that. And this is the environment they want to bring in Makkah Sharif. And in Medina Sharif, no more salam, no more Jazakallah, thank you, goodbye, bye-bye, all those things there. They want to bring that. And we don't pay any attention. And we don't realize how we are being robbed of our iman. And by our own people, and they just get some training, get some good salary there, put on a nice uniform, and he thinks he's somebody out of this world. Eh? So this is a very important thing that we have to see, that we eat the right things. And even at home, eat healthy food. Eh? That is very important. And delicious food also. One buzurg, when he used to eat, he should add a lot of water. He thought that he's been pious, zahid, zuhad, that he eats food that is now tasteless, that I don't worry about taste. But the other buzurgs, the people who had reality of buzurgi, they say, you forget you becoming a buzurg, you are making na qadri, you are an appreciator of the ni'mats of Allah. Allah gives you halal and tayyibah, delicious food, no problem, enjoy and make shukr to Allah. Who gave it to you? Don't just become a slave of your taste and your food also, but make shukr to Allah. That what delicious food. And Allah has given us this delicious food so that we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali told Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, Mia Ashraf Ali, hai paani thanda karke piya karo, taake dil se subhanallah nikle. When you drink nice on a hot day, you get some cold water. Now if you think I'm a buzurg and you go and drink hot water on a hot day and you think that I'm a buzurg, I don't indulge it. No, buzurgi is so simple. Buzurgi is so enjoyable. It is not difficult. Buzurg, there is nothing better than buzurgi. But then we must eat the right, we must understand what is buzurg. So Allah's ni'mats, don't spoil the ni'mats of Allah. Use, and of course by delicious food, don't let it be one person who has passed away now. He said that once he had Azadville, the garage, there was a takeaway there, and some youngsters, they said, let us go and get some decent food today. The junk food. Calling that some decent food today. That we had enough of all this junk food at home, let's eat some. So today our taste also have changed. The taste must be right of what is delicious food. Not this big AK-47s and all the shawamas, and you can't even pronounce the names of the new. Today is a new world, the food also is different. Now, one friend of ours, Ismail Bey Hafiji of Stenger, he says when we were small and in Inanda there was a Munshisab, very pious person, very, and his father, all pious people. They should eat simple dar and they should say, wow, enjoyable. And they should appreciate. So they were young boys. They say, hey, these topis are nice. What they're talking is enjoyable. What is dar and this veggies and that? What is that enjoyable? But now he says, I realize. And wallah, when our iman starts getting made, you will enjoy simple water. Zamzam you will enjoy. Today, per person goes to Makkah Sharif, he wants the black zamzam. One friend said, the small child told to the mother, he looked, aru zamzam diyoni, the black zamzam, the Pepsi and the Coke. That we drink there only. And zamzam, we can't enjoy zamzam water. Our taste has gone. Olive oil is so good, olives, but you need a taste to enjoy. Otherwise, you don't like olive oil. But otherwise, olive oil is so healthy, so delicious. But our tastes are so changed, we don't get any enjoyment in that. So, inshallah, what we have to watch, the food also, whether it is here, whether it is at home. That controls our thoughts, it controls our heart, it controls our body, the food that we eat. Very, very important that we eat halal and tayyibah. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.